With encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, this is Abounding Grace. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, our chance to get together for a few minutes each and every day that we might be encouraged in Christ. Now, won't you take a moment and join us? We're brought to you in part through the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Here now is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for being with us for another edition of Abounding Grace. And on this Tuesday session, we are looking at what the Apostle Paul said and where we left off yesterday in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, where he says, "By the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." And I said yesterday, that is a verse we have to memorize. I made a distinction yesterday between two types of theologies. The church has produced a whole bunch of people living the glory story, and I distinguish the glory story, the theology of glory, from a theology of the cross. And in the glory story, they hear the law, thou shall not, thou shall not, thou shall not. And while that law should produce a realization of sin, as Paul said, for by the law is a knowledge of sin. And so we're talking about, of course, the natural man. When he hears the law, it should produce the knowledge of sin. Instead, not wanting to hear about sin, they see the law as the answer. They trust in themselves. They don't see the law as something to point out they can't do it. They see the law as a motivator to try to do it themselves. I can do it myself, thank you. When the law should drop us to our knees to expose constantly, even as Christians, our total need for God's grace. That, of course, is the glory road that says, I can do it myself. I'm upright. I'm a good person. I'm a moral person. I asked yesterday, what is a theologian of the cross? A theologian of the cross is somebody who realizes the law cannot save him, that he is outright foul before God, that he is full of unrighteousness, that all of his righteousness is as a filthy rag, and that he needs to hear that because he goes on constantly in his life and in his heart suppressing the reality of his own sin. And so when he hears God's law, he doesn't see it as a remedy for his sin. He sees it as making things worse. The law is uncovering and it is exposing all the things that I naturally want to hide. And that's why we all look so good on the outside, but we don't want anyone to see what's on the heart. If people could look right in our hearts, all of us would be appalled at one another, right? All of these outer faces of righteousness that we put on are simply masks. And the law exposes those masks. And so the theologian of the cross says, look, I need something far greater. Driven to despair by the law, which is what it should do in its first use, he says, look, I don't need some quick fix. That's a false illusion. And so as the theologian of the cross is convicted by the law, he lives a life that says, quoting Martin Luther, I am an addict, I am an alcoholic, which is fundamentally saying, I am the sinner and a sinner. And he never stops saying that until Christ comes and takes away his sin forever. And so what is constantly doing is dropping him onto his knees so that he would see his total dependency for Christ and recognizing that he can do nothing, absolutely nothing about his state, his sinful nature. He looks to God and his cross of the Lord Jesus Christ as the only answer. It is the cross that does the killing of sin. Life comes when we realize that the only righteousness that God will accept is something totally and utterly and foreignly outside of us and given for us outside and apart from the law to free us. It is God himself impaling his son on the cross so that when we see him by faith there, his hands nailed, his crown of thorns, his beating, his sufferings of body and soul, that sweat turned to drops of blood. We see all of those instruments of cruelty as our own sins personally laid upon him. And that is the only way of escape through Christ, through his suffering on the cross and his exaltation and the payment for sins. His session tells us, his raising tells us he has triumphed over and conquered all of our sins and paid for them. And so you can see why it's so repulsive to God for a smug sinner to say, "You know, I agree with what you demand, Lord. I agree with your law, but I don't want your charity. I'm no charity case. I will do it myself. I prefer the law route. Thank you very much." See, that's what Romans is showing us this week. It really begs us to ask, are we theologians of glory, trusting in ourselves and our own righteousness, or are we theologians of the cross, looking to the righteousness that God has provided outside of us because we are inside rotten and bad to the bone? Paul begins in verse 21 with the most beautiful words in the whole book. "But now." He says in Romans 3, verse 21, "But now the righteousness of God," now listen to this, "apart from the law is revealed." That is a beautiful statement. In almost three chapters of just grueling, horrifying presentation of our natures and our lost state and the wrath of God upon us for our sin, he says, "But now." There are no words, my friends, more beautiful than that. The Lord did not end things. He could have. I'm always amazed when people fight against the bondage of the will, and they fight against the doctrines of sovereign grace, because that essentially means that salvation is totally taken out of their hands, and they say, "That's not fair. If it's not up to me, well, then it just can't be fair if I don't get the goods by my own choosing or rejecting." I laugh. Do you know what's fair? What is fair is for God to drop all of us headlong into the torturous fires of hell. But we're Americans, of course. And we try to define God by our American ideals and the American goal of fairness and equality and civil rights. What is not fair are the words, "But now." Oh, that God would say such a thing to us. At the end of verse 20, could have been the last words of the first judgment day in Genesis chapter 3, where he says, "By the law is the knowledge of sin, period, you're done." But God did not do that. He decided to make another way. And what does he present to you? "But now the righteousness of God is revealed." What a beautiful gospel statement. I will never forget, if I had anything close to a conversion experience, it was from this passage. Not trying to sound too spiritual here today, overly spiritual, as if I've attained to something greater than any other Christian. But I was reading this verse one day, and I was pondering the implications of sin and how bad things are, and all of a sudden it was like a light bulb turning on. Oh, sure, I'd said of my profession of faith years before, just as if I had never sinned, that little acronym for justification. But years later, it was the moment, "You mean God did something totally outside of me to free me from my sin and misery and make me right with him?" It was the greatest release, and all of a sudden, as if I had finally had full joy. How could I have been so dull before this? "But now the righteousness of God is revealed apart from the law." Okay, so I thought to myself, this righteousness is said to be absolutely apart from the law. And I knew exactly what that meant. God had announced this righteousness totally apart from my personal acts of law keeping. So there was a point at which I was confronted with a theology of glory or a theology of the cross. When I came to the realization of my sin and it crushed me, here was my choice. And this is so important today. Would I begin to give an ear to a false confidence in my heart and say, "Well then, if God's law says thou shall not, it's just time to clean up my life. And I'm going to start up the ladder in a new way of righteousness before God and live a holy life before him." Look, my friends, this is exactly where so many are confused when they walk aisles, they go to crusades, and are pressed to make a moment's emotional decision for Christ. The music revs up the emotions, the speaker gives some really convicting message about sin, and the man's only real decision is that he's going to pick himself up by his bootstraps and stop the drugs, stop the alcohol, stop the pornography, and so on. Here's my point. Those things in and of themselves are great to stop those things. But here's the temptation. The temptation is to use the law as a way to make things better. Do you hear that? Think about that today. The temptation is to use the law as a way to make things better. Thou shall not. That's the answer. And in that scheme, the law becomes a defense mechanism against anything outside of me. Think about that. In that scheme, the law would become a defense against the free gift. And so, like the addict, he may stop for a period of time. He may stop the drugs and the alcohol. He walked forward. He picked himself up by his bootstraps. The law said, "Thou shalt not." He says, "Okay, I'm not going to." And the better he does for a while, the more a false confidence begins to grow in him. And so he is like a wave of the sea, up and down in the sin. But the little progress is his righteousness. So, for instance, the addict to alcohol could stop for a while, and that success becomes a defense mechanism against what the law was designed to do in the first place: crush him. And so for me, that was one option, but here was the other option. "Look, Lord, I've been living a lie. In my own darkness of heart, I'm beginning to see that my life has been full of all these evils, and now as I have become very conscious of the law, I've come to grips with one truth. I'm stuck. I can't get out. I am a worm and not a man. The truth of Romans 3 has become very real to me. I am vile, and if you judge me, I'm done." It was at this moment of complete shattering of vain confidence and total renouncing of myself that I began to see what God wanted me to see. For the first time, I needed a righteousness apart from the law. I needed the righteousness of another. I needed the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the perfect one, the righteousness that God will accept, the righteousness that totally has the ability to free me and cover me from all of my sin. That is the gospel. That is the glorious truth of what the Christian faith proclaims in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Well, we've been looking at two kinds of theologies this week, a theology of glory and a theology of the cross, and it's very possible that you are sitting under teaching that is focused on man and his glory and his exaltation as he seeks to do things in his own power. That is a denial of the gospel. Instead of proclaiming Christ and him crucified from all of Scripture and proclaiming him as the only way, truth, and life in the power of him and him crucified. That is the message that we are called to preach each and every Lord's Day. Are you hearing that? If not, join us this Sunday, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. at the Linden URC, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 318-0429 is the phone number. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you. I need no